This is season 6, episode 1 of the Decoded Podcast. That means, Chris, bro, we've been doing this for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
We have done this for 5 friggin' years. That's pretty cool. And I saw something somewhere on my socials, I think it had to do with the blog or something. I created something for this podcast September 14th. 5 years ago. Okay. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the blog. Who knows? Anyway, it was like, wow, that was a long time ago. And I have to say, this is a momentous occasion, not only because we've gone through 5 years, but this episode right now, season 6, episode 1, is our 209th episode. We hit 209, baby.
209, baby.
209. Of all, like, I've been waiting for this day for a long time, and it's finally come. 209.
209. That's good. That's good. That's
all I wanted to start with.
And despite the fact that every milestone is important, this one feels more important than the last and the next one and anybody else's milestone. I think that's what's important. I think this is probably one of the most important milestones that Twitter has ever experienced.
209.
Yeah. I don't want to set that bar. We're making Twitter jump over that 209 episodes. I think what makes that kind of cool, and maybe I'll do this right now. So we're going to have to do some averages here. So 209, let's say times, should we make it, well, I like to make it odd kind of a thing. So that's like 209 hours-ish, probably a little bit more.
Ish, because some is more.
Yeah.
We've done recently some less than an hour. But anyway, let's just call it 209 for fun or whatever. You do whatever you want with the numbers.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, so 209 hours.
Sorry, this is 209. So it's 20. We've done 208 hours.
I'll credit us because, you know, we often were hitting the 45, like very often 45 to, I think we've hit the over 1 hour conversation more often than not. If we nickel and dime that, we're at 209 at least.
Okay.
So, but 209 hours, hey, Ontario Education, what are some of the metrics in your edu life? So we know you and I have spent 209 hours ish, probably plus, talking about living in and around and under education. And I think that's I think it's beyond the, you know, we just need to celebrate in some way. I'll take a quick sip of non-branded coffee.
Non-branded, I like that. Yeah, I see that. And I had some non-branded coffee too. It's all
there gone. We go. Oh, I have the same mug.
Epic.
Yeah, I had. Chids, I was. Bluff. Yeah, yeah. That's back funny. In the day,
do I you never have thought one with it was an H on it.
For the huff.
For the huff.
For the huff. So got, I think
I've just got some water in here.
Nice. I'm going the old. Yeah, I got water as well. This is like the Scouts kit for an hour long conversation. In the least, stay hydrated. Got it, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like 209 hours. Like what I love. So what I love about just sort of really pounding this number into the ground is like, how many times have you been in sort of professional development conversations and someone kind of rolls their eyes? Did I say celebrations or situations?
I don't know. I'd have to check the game tape.
There we go. So you're in a PD moment where someone like me is sort of looking at someone that's like in their first or second year. And I turn to them. I'm like, oh my God. Like we talk about this every year, but all you really have is this sense in that moment of maybe it happened, but you don't have a sense of the size or volume of that. But this is a measurable thing. We've done 209 hours of conversation about education. Mm-hmm. just in this pod, just in this pod. And I would go so far as to say you double that at least, because you and I are connecting away from this as well. Like in the course of a week, in the course of 7 days, you know, we're texting, we're using, you know, the Marco Polo conversations. Maybe we're sharing stuff on Insta. Like we're doing the things that friends do, but woven within there are also the themes that pop up in this conversation, the actual sit down. So I would say we're that number. I like it. I like that I've sort of spent voluntarily, that's the thing, voluntarily and in a harmonized way, as in it works with my life, talking about being a dad, talking about being a husband, talking about being a teacher, talking about just being me, whatever that other part. So I'm sort of like observing all these different identities, interests, the Foodapalooza, the book club for men, all the ridiculous products that we've kind of suggested, right?
Yeah.
But entirely those products as well are synergistic. They're connected to, you know, some of the things we're thinking about in EDU or in our life. So I couldn't have, when I first heard the word reflective practice, I don't think I could have ever, and I can't define it any better now, but if I define reflective practice by actions and some metrics, I would say 209 hours is a reasonable first step to identify clearly what's one measurable unit in reflective practice. Now, I guess you could argue, depending on how ethereal and kind of spiritual you are, you're like, well, don't count the hours. Like that's, don't start counting the hours. But if someone were to say to me, what is reflective practice? I would say it's 209 hours in a conversation. I would say it's using other digital tools to express my thinking, both with the individuals that I feel like those topics are connected to, and then spending time in my own space. I would say it's podcasting. I would say it's making video. I would say it's drawing. I would say it's hanging out with my kids. I would say it's hanging out with you. And I would say, when reflective practice was first introduced to me, and I'm going to go kind of like a parallel conversation to this. I think one of the mistakes that I see when other podcasters introduce this idea of using podcasting in the classroom is that it's starting with the hook and starting with the fluency. But I wonder if they take the time to also explore the richness that sort of exists. Like podcasting doesn't become, I think the podcasting is not the focus of yours and my reflective practice, but maybe it started there. Maybe that was the access point. And then it kind of like, transform, you know, kind of rolled out from there. But I think that's an important, one of my learnings in doing this podcast, both independently with you and then sort of exploring other sort of digital media, is that idea of reflective practice, it from my experience has been kind of one note, is that there's only one, not that there's only one way to do it, but that you'll stay with just one way. It's the whole idea of staying in your lane. That's all. Last thing I'll mention, you know, I remember the last time, the only time I was invited to do the EdTech team. They did the Google camps. I'm putting the bright brands together, right? So that, so back in the day when I did that, I did the podcasting session in, Cambridge. I think it was Cambridge. Whenever I came, your neck of the woods, and I did the thing. And people came to the podcast session, and I spent most of the time talking about generating good questions. And close to the end of people, and I did talk about, okay, primarily generating good questions, different ways to create questions, how to follow up on the questions, how to play with the questions, what I found some of the questions, how they gain invitation, they don't gain invitation. And then at the tail end, we did a podcast. I walked around with my phone, and I asked people things. That was it. And then I recorded it and I shared it out with the crew afterwards. I'm like, there's your podcast. That's it. So it was the most kind of like using digital media. It was the most like the digital tool, just that one device. It was the most dressed down thing. Now, did it speak to probably the complications? No. You got to live that, right? You got to kind of go in. I taught, you know, I think I used some examples. I might have shown a picture from Derek Rodnizer and his cardboard boxes lined with egg crate cardboards. Like you make the little individual things. You know, I might have, I don't even remember. I would have to go back and look, but it was such a reach out to me afterwards. What was funny, a very funny moment, and I think I told you about this, is that I also shared with the individuals at the session my mobile number. I said, you can call me, text me. We'll continue this conversation, like reach out. And I can remember someone saying like, really? I'm like, sure, why not? I mean, you can come. I can burn that number if it becomes, or I can tell you, stop texting. I can block you. I got the tools. And I know that's not block you. Yeah, it's not that it's, but part of it is I want you to understand how genuinely I believe in sort of like this approach. And I'm kind of, it's extra, but I think this is important. It's, and you want to talk about, you know, what is the actual tech or like, what does it mean to use, I always forget the name of it, sound. What's the thing? It's now integrated into Google, but it wasn't integrated before. Sound. It's
SoundCloud, like SoundCloud or something like that.
No. Well, yeah, SoundCloud is a thing.
Oh
no, it's the podcasting recording tech that's now integrated into Google, at least for my board. But it used to be a standalone, and it was the sort of I don't say it's the gold standard, but it was the thing that you could sort of do reflective practice and recording podcasts and music in there. I can't remember Sound. Yeah. Jocelyn Curvin's going to crush me for that because she got me into it at first. I'll remember. It'll pop up. Anyways, I said, you want to talk about tech? That's for another time. And I didn't have another session, so there wasn't another time. But they did have my mobile. No one reached out, which is fine. It's just fine. I've never really since been at any session where the presenter said, yeah, text me. But I was feeling it. I was like, this is cool. Props to Will Gourley. I think he showed up for it. Probably Hurley was there too. Yeah. So anyways, back to that whole idea of what we've achieved here, 209 hours. That's what it means to me. It means to me that I've spent 209 hours plus with you talking about what is important to me in that particular moment about education, about being a husband, about being, you know, dad, dude, husband, teacher. And I feel like we really have fulfilled, even though I don't think we had it completely structured out, we came into this, I think, with that intention. Like, that's the mark we wanted to hit and made the whole approach work for us. So
awesome. As I reflect on what you said, and I guess the last 209 hours of the podcast, I think it's awesome that, to me, it speaks to the idea that we had around wanting to podcast and do it on our terms and do it in a way that worked for us. Because I think if we didn't operate that way, I don't think it would have lasted. Like, I think, you know, the first hockey season, That's it would have been over, right? Because Saturday mornings were taken up with hockey. It was a matter of, like, I'm just thinking of my Saturday mornings and what happened, how things shifted. And I think it would have been over if you and I didn't come into it with the idea that we're just going to go with the flow. We're going to try to do this once a week. Yep. Like, today's a great example. It's funny that we're talking about this as we podcast on a Sunday, because yesterday you had family obligation. So you messaged me, what, Thursday? And you're like, bro, I can't do Saturday morning. Can we do Sunday? I'm like, I'll get back to you. Look at my schedule. Talk to my family. But we've been doing that for 5 years, right?
I think the model works. I think there's a provable model in there, isn't there?
Well, franchises. Works for us. Franchises.
Yeah. Hey, listeners, who wants to take on Decoded Podcast for you? right?
Yeah, you can break things down, build things up on your time.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, that's what these last 5 years, these 209 hours mean to me. Just, you know, it's a testament to flexibility, to honoring each other's timetables and life moves and stuff. And I think it's awesome. I hope one day my boys stumble upon this podcast and listen. I think they know where to find it and how to find it, but they're like, who cares? Maybe one day they will, because you and I have talked about this. If my mom called me today and said, hey, I found a box that belonged to your dad and there's all kinds of stuff in it, photos, video, you know, audio tapes and stuff, I'd be like, yeah, I'm in the car and I'm on my way to Ottawa. I want that box, right? That's just me. Not everybody's like that. But I think there's value in the conversations we've had, at least for you and I. Sometimes we bring value to others, and that's a bonus, I think. And sometimes we don't. But we do it on our terms. And I think at the end of the day, that's one of the things I'm most proud of, that we do this on our terms, our rules. We have the fluency to podcast in many different ways, and we've chosen to do it this way. And I like that, because it's authentic and real, and it means something to us. So yeah, baby, this is episode 209. We hit 209. I can't believe it.
I'm looking forward to, and this happens, I would say, so infrequently. I'm looking forward to someone saying, hey, I was listening to season 2, episode 5, and they basically put in front of me an opportunity for an Easter egg. Because we've talked about this maybe even last week, the week before. Like, I don't go back and review our conversations. But in that instance, when someone's feeling a connection to it, I would love to go back and listen to that episode and see, because it's in here somewhere, right? Like, somewhere. I remember, like, season, you know, 1 and 2. 1 was kind of like, okay, yeah, I think back to some of the pictures, like the little drawing things that I did. Like, season 1 was sort of little scrap pieces of paper. Just, it could have even just been a list of the questions. And then season 2, I'm like, okay, I think I'm going to do some sort of a drawing that's kind of sketchnote-y connected to the conversation. And then into season 3 and 4, it's kind of like the picture started to be like, what the hell's going on there? Like, and then by season 5, I'm just doing whatever the hell I want. Like, I'm just kind of like, I'm just doing some art. That's the picture. Like, it's only connected to the conversation in so much as that it happened while we were talking. So for someone to come up and say, hey, yeah, I was listening to such and such a season, episode, whatever, and you two were talking about this thing, and it really got me thinking about X, or I would love to hear more about X, or what do you think now about that? So the distance between there and now, like, where are you at in that conversation? Like, I would take so much joy from that. And maybe I'm just sending this out to the universe, but I would take a lot of joy from that. Only because I feel like that would be the appropriate kind of like spark for me to go back and review the game tape. And for me to, in real time, go, wow, yeah, there is now distance between not only how that thought came out, but even what the thought was. Here's my next layer to it, which, you know, sometimes you don't even realize the layering of it until someone jumps into your process at an early point, right? Like, for someone, often if someone were to ask about podcasting now, and you and I have talked about this, my access point to understanding about what podcasting is a universe, a different universe altogether than when I first started. I think when I first started, there were necessary sort of things to learn. And then you sort of like, you shift into what feels comfortable, what works right for you. But when people ask to me about how to get started, I love that, because I really have to work to try and see where they're at, but also to kind of like shape it in a way that once I do notice where they're at, to still take my experience and sort of, okay, so here's that chunk of something that I think I can talk about that answers your question. But I love those moments. Like, someone the other day asked me, like, what got you into podcasting? I'm like, oh. Or even Jamie, when we did the it's very similar to Jamie when we were out for the Foodapalooza. And he's like, so how did you two meet? Trying to make sense of how two digital people, humans, digital humans, arrive at having pizza in a park in my hometown. And I think that's a reasonable confusion. It's like, I dig this moment, dudes, but like, how did this come to be? And there isn't a simple, I figured it was safe. I figured he was down for it. He's a great listener. His kid was being chill. So he kind of got the full story, right? And with, I mean, just kind of still Cole's notes, but it was still the full story. But it took about 15 minutes to kind of walk through the layers where I felt like that's how we got here. Like, I'm sort of listening to myself tell, and I'm like, that is how we got here. That is how we got to this moment right now, having pizza with you. But I would love, like, I'm not beckoning listeners or whoever follows, finds this content to sort of reach out, but I will declare that I love it when people ask those questions that are specific to an episode, because it's the necessary reminder for me to kind of go back and go, damn, look at that picture. Like, even when I look at some of the paintings and drawings, I'm like, what the hell were we talking about? So it's that is cool. Like I said, it's almost like it introduces Easter eggs into my own life. Those little gems, nuggets.
You know what I really like is my show notes usually don't correspond to what you put on Instagram or tweet out. So I say one thing and then you push something else. And sometimes it's like, I don't understand. I don't understand what he's saying there. But I love that, because that just, again, it goes with, we have a flow, and it's hard sometimes to explain that flow, but it's, you get something from it. I get something from it. The listener gets something from it. And this business of, hey, I listened to episode 12 of season 3, and I have no clue what they're referring to. And sometimes when I look at your artwork, I have no clue. I don't even know. I don't know. All I know is, I think it's fantastic that you created something, a visual arts piece from the conversation we had. I think that's epic. It's not my style, but I love that you do it, and I love that you can do it. There's just so many cool things about it. Then there's the listeners. That whole aspect is fun too. Using StreamYard to be able to go live on YouTube and then have people jump in and ask questions or make comments or whatever, and then we can share that up here. Like this morning, I pushed this out this morning, just good morning listeners. Like, the ability for me to be able to just shift it over like that and have everybody see it is pretty cool. That dimension is an interesting one. I like that we've really stuck to just you and I doing the podcast and not having guests, so to speak, that are actually sitting in the room with us. I know that we will have listeners and they'll provide questions and comments and we'll talk about it and share and include them, but we don't have that third person sitting here in the room with us. And I like that I wanted to stop doing that. You know, I didn't want to do that anymore. But there's still space for it. Like, talking, was it last week that we had Ramona was with us, and she was chilling. She was doing some baking while listening to the podcast or watching the podcast. And you, Ramona, and myself have another podcast together on leadership. And we haven't done anything with that in a while. I'd like to get back to that. I feel like we still have a lot to say about leadership, whatever leadership looks like. I also feel like leadership shouldn't just be reserved for people in the formal leadership positions. I think once we do that, I think that's dangerous to just leave it in their hands and not try to revisit certain topics or consider certain things and, you know, consider people being leaders and just not having the role where you're stamped with that stamp of leader. It's important to me that we continue those conversations, selfishly because I benefit from them. But I think more than that, the three of us are all coming from different places. And I think that, you know, from those places, we bring questions and thoughts and ideas and experiences that anybody who listens to it could benefit from it and kind of start to find their way in leadership if that is a word that they're interested in with respect to who they are and what they do. I know I've heard from many educators that just being a teacher means that you're a leader, because you're constantly working with other people to move in a positive direction. And that's leadership. You know, you're taking the initiative, you're taking the time and the energy to push people forward, to help people grow. And so, you know, I've met some people that have just said to me, no, bro, we're all leaders. I don't care if it's you're sitting in the main office or you're in room 12. If you're not a leader, then we got a problem, because your job is to take these kids and to help them grow. And you need to do some things that, you know, is considered leadership. And if you're not doing those things, then maybe you're in the wrong place. So all that to say, that I really think we should kick that podcast back into high gear. And the fun thing about that podcast is we won't be doing that on Saturday morning, because Saturday morning's Decoded podcast. You know, Barstool Sports has this tagline. It's Saturdays are for the boys. And I like to think Saturdays are for Decoded podcast. Actually, I should make a t-shirt that says that, kind of riff off of their theme, Saturdays are for the boys, and use the same font and whatever and call it Saturdays are for Decoded podcast.
A very good friend. When I posted out this morning about the book, I posted out this morning to Twitter about how long have you let sort of like a book stew on your shelf? And I was thinking a lot about, I just finished up the Malcolm X audiobook. I have the paper copy too, but I found the audiobook I felt a bridge to. Yeah, there it is. There's Malcolm. Yeah, you got it. You got it, baby. So you'll see on the front there, it says As Told To. And that's kind of critical, because I did appreciate that. As Told To Alex Haley. And then the audiobook is the Malcolm X, the autobiography of Malcolm X, performed by Lawrence Fishburne. And the performed by gave me a really interesting, my edu goal this year is to pull the word interesting out. I don't want that. I don't like that euphemism anymore. That's got to go on the fossil list. Yeah, the full of shit sayings, idioms, and language. The fossil list. Yeah, full of shit. So interesting. I'm going to pull it. I want you to hammer me on that. Okay. Hulk smash it whenever I use that one. What I loved about Lawrence Fishburne performing it was that it made it harder not to listen. So sometimes when I listen to an audiobook, because it's read by, you know, maybe a professional reader, they do some performances in there. Like there's voice actors that actually, you know, they're doing the different voices, and they, you know, if they do a certain accent on something, they're trying. So it's like one person doing multiple characters, but performed by Lawrence Fishburne, the acting chops really came out. Like it was the performance was obvious, and I really like that. I went way too far on this, but what it comes back to is putting the audiobook or putting a book, whatever it is, and keeping it on the shelf for a measured amount of time for a reason, no reason. I asked out to the Twitter sphere just to say, hey, how long have you kind of stewed on a book? And there's some stuff coming back. I mean, you only get four choices on there. And Twitter surveys, I like to try and make them easy to answer so that I can jump back in and start up conversations. And so I put, I think, hours, weeks, months, years. I think that's what I used. Hours, weeks, months, years, something like that. And a very good friend put back to me, they DM'd me and they said, you know, there's a time and place for some books. So you think you think they're going to work and then they don't. There's a time and a place. What I add to it is that, you know, some books, whatever your intention is, they don't connect. Ryan Holiday would say, if it doesn't connect, get rid of it. And even that list recently, is it Jesse Oppenheimer? Who is the dude? I shared with you that one list of the research assistant sort of sharing that.
Billy Oppenheimer.
Yeah, Billy Oppenheimer. He's, you know, one of Ryan Holiday's tenets is like, stop. If the book isn't connecting with you, stop. And I get that. I kind of like what my friend DM'd me, though. And they said, you know, sometimes there is a time and place. It's sort of I get the activation of like, don't waste your time. Like, don't work harder than the book. Right. But I also really, I think in our particular case with this podcast and the podcast that we did on leadership, I feel like the pause in between was sort of necessary, like to put it on the shelf for a little bit. And you're right, coming back into it, I'll speak for myself. My lens on what I'm working towards in EDU in regards to my own leadership path, it is exploring a different universe right now. I'm not the same individual that was having very earnest and serious conversations before. I've had experience since then that have altered my trajectory. So I like that. I think that, you know, not just what you said about the podcast, but also the pause in between, I think allowed for me a little bit of space to really consider what it is that I want from those conversations, what I feel like I contribute. And I think I can, but I think I am also coming back into this conversation as a very different version of Clough. Sorry. There's additional complications now for me when I think about it. That's what it comes down to. It's still me. Chids, it's still me. Ramona, it's still me. But I have to sort of look directly at the fact, like, I don't feel I have access to the mindset that I used to. I've sort of grown and moved past that. And the growing past and moving past and thinking differently actually feels like a far more comfortable version of leadership than the one that I was sort of pursuing when we last met. So the time and place factor. And I like that I can hold those two ideas in my head because I'm a good walk away guy. I am. I'm a leave the party early. I'm not like, I don't have to have that event. I can sort of trim quite easily. And sometimes I have to work a little bit harder to say, no, there's a reason to kind of just put pause and come back to it. And there's another story within that about a particular book that I'll talk about another time. But I've had a book on my shelf. I've had a book on my shelf since 1998 that I have not read yet. And I may share that with you in the off ramp, but there's a very, very, for me, powerful reason why I haven't made it. I've started, but I haven't finished it yet. But there's a very specific reason why. And it's kind of like, it's one of those, I carry kind of like I'll say flat out, it's funny, kind of strange. I carry the burden of this book almost every day for a very specific reason. There's a teaser, eh? We'll leave that for the Patreon feed. You get to hear Clough's super secret story. There's no Patreon feed.
Just call him. He'll give out his cell phone number at the end of the episode.
You can just call awesome. Clough. Story time with Clough.
Story time with Clough. I just tweeted that I want to start recording me reading books. So then after, when I push it out, I can have the book title and then say As Read by Roland Chidiac.
Nice. Would you epic. Go so far as to say performed by?
If I... Only if I felt I was performing it. Mm-hmm. If I'm just reading it, I could then say As Read by Roland Chidiac.
I hear you.
I want to talk a second about the fact that we have taken a major break with the leadership podcast. I think that adds to the flavor of it. That's the other thing too. Like, we don't push things. You and I and Ramona, none of us were like, we got to do this now. We have to talk to this person. We got to do that. We didn't do that again on our terms. right? On our terms. And I think this, I don't know, maybe that's the name of our book. If we ever publish a book, On Our Terms. I don't know, bro. But anyway, I think it more value comes to the Leadership Podcast with three people in three different places in terms of what they see leadership as, the questions that they have, who they are as leaders. Yeah. Dominique says, good morning. She was here. According to the YouTube metrics, it says we don't have anybody watching right now. But when she was here, she said, good morning. So good morning. Thanks for checking us out.
Yeah. Good morning, Dominique. Happy weekend. Happy weekend.
Happy weekend and happy Sunday, bro.
Yep.
I this morning was reflecting on Sunday and I started thinking, I see Sunday differently now than I used to. I was a Sunday hater. I was a Sunday, a gloomy Sunday guy. I'm not like that anymore. I try not to be gloomy about any day anymore. So I started doing some research and I read a couple of articles this morning. Man, you know what? I've turned into, in preparation
for this podcast.
No,
you
not. Did.
Oh, okay. Okay. So total personal thought fuel.
Yeah. Total. Like I was sitting there and I was like,
I got a little competitive all of a sudden.
That's not like you at all, bro.
I know. You lit me up though. It was like research. Well, damn. That is all. Is that season six? Research. Facts, rigor, Clough, chids. Or if you want more chids, then Clough, because we got to be equitable, right?
Sure. That's important. Equity is important.
Hard hitting podu journalism. Sorry, buddy.
I decided, what is it about Sundays that drives people nuts? And I kind of had the answer in my head already.
Okay.
But I wanted to look on the internet and see if people had written about it in an organized fashion with some rational thoughts. So I found a couple of good ones. I tweeted one out this morning. Actually, I tweeted one out. You know what? I have to tell you, my connection to Twitter has led me to become a voracious reader.
Oh.
And I've been like, so yesterday I'm watching football with my son, but I'm not just watching football. I'm surfing the net. I'm reading things. I'm like collecting information. I'm just, what, and here's the beautiful part. I know I am like all over the place right now, but here's the cool thing. So
you sound like me. That's good. Keep going. I'm feeling a deep connection to you right now.
My son says to me, do you want to watch a football game with me, Dad? I said, yeah, of course. So we're watching the game. And as we're watching the game, I'm also like, I'm researching, I'm reading, and I'm watching the game. Whenever my son would talk to me and engage me in conversation, I'd put my tech down. And I told myself, priority number one is my kid. Priority number two is me, whatever you want to. So we're watching the game. We're talking about a particular play or he's got questions or whatever. I told myself the tech goes down, goes right out of my hands. I focus on my son. We talk, we engage. And then when we go back to football, I can pick up my tech. So I was reading all kinds of stuff yesterday. It was freaking awesome. And then, so this morning, I just wanted to kind of throw that, like, I tweet a lot about different things, leadership, equity, and it's coming from my reading. Like, I'm reading things. I'm like, okay, I'm going to push this out because I think it's important. I want to share this, or this is a good article that I just read. I'm going to share this, hoping other people will find it valuable to them in some way, shape, or form, helpful in some way, shape, or form. This morning was about Sundays. I'm like, okay, let me see, because I've shifted away from Sundays. Growing up, stereotypically, Sunday was a shitty day because you're not going to stay up late. Now, some people do stay up late, but I wasn't going to stay up late. Got to get up and go to work / school the next morning, whatever. You're not going to book anything fun to do Sunday evening because of that whole thing. Like I had a lot of things built around Sunday that were not good. And it's taken me a long time to get rid of those things, to push them away. Like, no, Sunday's another day of the week, and I'm going to do what I want with it. I'm going to still try to enjoy my day, my life. I don't care what day it is. The same goes for Monday. I don't care anymore whether it's Monday or Sunday. I'm doing my thing. So I was reading a little bit about it. I tweeted it out. There are some really cool reasons why people don't like Sunday, and it has to do with slacking off on Friday, with the excitement of the weekend coming, and you think, oh, I just leave this for Monday. But then you get to Sunday and you're like, oh shoot, I didn't do that stuff on Friday. I'm gonna have to pick it up tomorrow. That's a lot of work. The fact that you can't do whatever you want on Monday, people start to experience that anxiety on Sunday. It was just really cool to collect. Now, and is any of this like, this is just people taking their time and their opinion. Some psychology is involved around anxiety and stuff like that, which is good stuff. But for the most part, it's people who are digging deeper into it and making like rational, logical arguments about it. And then I started thinking about, well, why am I okay with Sunday? And I'm okay with Sunday because I want each day to stand alone. So at the end of that day, I can be like, this was a good day. And what's a good day? It, you know, whether I was productive, I did something interesting. I like to set up things to look forward to. So tomorrow's Monday. Do I want to get up and have to go to work? I think most people don't like that. Maybe most people do. In my opinion, most people don't. But for me, it's pretty cool. I get to get up. Now, I'm not really going to work tomorrow because it's Labor Day, but I get to get up and then go in and see people that I haven't seen since last week. And that's kind of cool, especially if you like the people you're around. And I, you know, I'm starting to build better morning routines so that I wake up and I do things for me that help boost me for the day. So it's like I figured out what works for me. I don't want to be held hostage by a day of the week. I want to hold it hostage. So it's that reverse. Yeah, I want it to be like, shit, Roland's coming. That's what I want.
Get ready.
Get ready. It's Monday, Roland's coming.
Yep.
But yeah, so it's like, dude, the book club got me into this mode. This, you know, we're reading, this is our last book that we just finished. Epic. I loved it. And for me, it's Denzel Washington. When I read this book, I'm like, Denzel was talking to me, because Denzel and Fishburne, they do a good Malcolm X. And when I actually listen to the real Malcolm X, it sounds like Denzel to me. But anyway, I'm like, no, I don't need to sit and read anything for a Thursday night meeting. I can read whenever I want, however I want. So I've been reading like crazy for a long time and not acknowledged it. And I'm acknowledging it today. I'm standing here in front of you, Clough, to tell you that I've become a voracious reader. And I love it.
Just a man standing in front of Clough, talking into a microphone. Chids, you had me at reading. Show me the reading, Chids. Show me the reading.
You can't handle the reading that I'm doing, Clough. You can't.
I love it. I love our, these are our, was it the, are these the aughts or the 90s? I like saying that. I don't say that too often. Do you ever say the aughts? For the 2000s, the aughts. I like that. These are the aughts movie references. That's cool, man. That's cool. I like it. I like it that you've arrived there. Only, not because hey, dude, I don't need to read. Don't read a damn thing if you don't want to. What I actually appreciate, I like your joy factor. I like the joy factor. I like hearing that you've discovered something about yourself that feels useful, and that within that there's some sort of a skill that you're cracking off on. I think that's wonderful. My only connection, and it's I haven't mentioned in a while, is that my particular philosophy of protect the weekend. And that kind of came out of partially what you've said, like you want to give yourself something to look forward to. I dig that. I dig that. Or you like giving yourself things to look forward to. The protect the weekend mindset, it partially stems out of, you know, my reading, my exploration of Stoic philosophy. There's that there. Like I'll that's where it comes out of. I think part of it too is also, ironically, it comes out of my experience in hospitality, because anyone that's worked in hospitality has a very, because of my experience in hospitality, I always had a very difficult relationship with holidays and weekends, because what I was trained out of completely was the concept and power and allure of, yeah, it's Friday, baby. I spent years where Friday was just a work day. I spent years where a weekend was a weekend. Well, one, the week's never ended, but if I were to claim it, it would be because I had days off sometime in the week. For a longer time, it was like Sunday, Monday. That was, I guess, my weekend. But there's a funny thing. When you get time, and this is a teacher, this actually happens all the time in teaching. When you have time off that you call the weekend, but it's technically not Saturday or Sunday, you might as well not call it the weekend. Because everybody else is kind of like, when they, you can't redefine that. You know what I mean? You have to put in front of it like, well, my weekend is. You don't get to say the weekend because automatically people are thinking Saturday, Sunday, right? In the same way, if you said you have the summers off, when in fact you take October and November, and the only reason you call it is because there's 2 months, like it doesn't work. You create a sort of a disconnect there, right? So I, for the longest time, did not have the learning that came along with building a life and building work around arriving on Friday and going, everybody's working for the weekend. Like that wasn't me, because my weekend, mine's the obvious, you know, everybody in my world was working on the weekend, not working for. So I think that that got stuck in the back of my brain. I think it's also what sort of has deregulated my whole, like to have summers off still feels like a, like it's just, that's wacky. That shit's still wacky to me, because like, it's like to have that much time off. And I'm actually, I said to the students the other day, I said, I'm kind of a supporter. Like, I think we need to spread that summer out over the whole school year. Like maybe give us 3 weeks off, give us 3 weeks off in the summer, and then let's spread those, that time out throughout the school year and give us some downtime. So we actually, we walk the talk. We, when we talk about work-life balance in teaching, well, that's because the system says, you know how we're going to help you do that? You get more than March break off. Like you're going to give some chunks of time around the school year where you could do prep if you want. You could go take a trip and you could come back and be whatever, you know, wholesome version of you in the classroom. I don't have, I still don't have any sense of Sunday is the end of the week. I have zero sense of Friday. Like when I say chronologically that Sunday is the end and Monday is the start, I have no sense of that. Not really. Like it doesn't, I have to do the work to actually think about my time in that way. I have no, I have zero positive energy. I don't know what, I don't even know what to call it. I get zero hype from arriving on a Friday night and thinking to myself, I don't have to teach for 2 days. Zero. I don't arrive in June and kind of go, shwoo, 2 months, all mine. It's very specific to me, but where I've kind of arrived at is that I have days where I have to do more work for other people, or there's moments when I have to do more work for other people, and that could be even on the day. And then there's days where I have more time for me to do the things that I'm interested in. And the whole idea of protect the weekend, I think, is just being mindful and intentional in how, in interacting with that in the most direct way possible. So I agree. I like to put things, you know, schedule things for myself too, but I'm also okay if life changes and I can't do that thing. Do I get pissed off if it costs me money? Yeah. But I also have to sort of admit that. So for example, if I, perfect example, you could say, for sure, yo, we can go to the kids. Let's go to the Loverboy concert on Saturday, and you buy your tickets, and then one of us gets sick. Well, you're no longer going to Loverboy's concert. So it can happen there. Like, you can, as they say, the best laid plans can change. But for me, I wouldn't say, well, there goes the weekend. Like, I wouldn't make that next step like I've just wasted my weekend. I might say, damn, I've wasted the money. That feels a little bit more concrete. But I wouldn't say to myself, I wish I had planned better. I wouldn't say to myself, I wish I had done, like, if only I had done this, I could have positioned that better. Let's say I get sick. I'm like, if only I didn't, you know, eat that donut I found on the desk. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that. I'm sort of thinking to myself, what can I do in this moment? There's things that I have to do for me. There's things I have to do for other people. And I was even saying that to the students the other day about protect the weekend. I'm starting to introduce it to them because I tell them flat out, I break it down into more steps. I'm like, you have to make sure that you have that balance of whatever the weekend, whatever the stereotype of what you like to do on the weekend, you need to kind of like season the whole week with that. And in the same way, protecting the weekend means also that on days where, even when you have nothing to do for somebody else, like that's an opportunity, like your free time for you should include planning for things you need to do for other people. So you're not completely saying, well, I only do my course planning, let's say, between the bells, Monday to Friday. Well, I that could work. But I think you're going to start to find some tensions there. There's going to be some tensions there where you don't get your prep one day. So then do you say, well, I'm not going to prepare at all for my job? You have to shift that somewhere, right? And if those other days are already spoken, you get yard duty. You get something. It's like, okay, well, this is a week where I'm going to do more work for other people during a time where I thought was, I had said was going to be more for me. If I tag it to one last thing, I think that's also that's the beauty of our podcast. Because we've proven, because I think we've done on a Friday, we've done on a Saturday, we've done on a Sunday. I don't know if we've done it the other days, but I'm not so firm in thinking that it has to be on the weekend that I would, like, I could roll with that. Like, if it worked, we said, you know what, we couldn't do it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but here's a conversation that I would really like to talk with you about, you know, about. I would put it to you, hey, do you think we could talk Monday night? And it's up to you to say yes or no. That's really what it comes down to. The podcast doesn't exist. It exists on Saturday because it works for the two of us. But I'm also aware that it could move if it didn't work. Like, it doesn't have to just exist here. And I don't feel like we've wasted time if we don't get to it on the weekend, because that time was needed to be put somewhere else. So, yeah. Protect the weekend.
It's interesting how people play with these days of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Weekends look different. The term weekend depends on when you work and when your days, when you don't work.
It would be a great question to put to somebody. Like, it's just a weird question. What days are the weekend?
Mm-hmm.
You happen to have a bunch of followers on Twitter. That work in businesses other than, let's say, education, they may actually say it's Wednesday and Thursday for me.
And for some people it shifts. Mm-hmm. Like, I know my former neighbor used to be a chef, which I know you know that lifestyle, but his weekend was Sunday and Monday. Mm-hmm. So on Sundays, he, you know, his thing was, I watch football on Sunday, and then Monday I kind of recoup, and then Tuesday I go back to work and hit it hard until Saturday night. And I remember the first time I learned that, I didn't know he was a chef. One day we were in the backyard, we're chatting with each other, and it was Sunday, and I could smell the BBQ coming from his place, and I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm smoking ribs. I said, oh, that's friggin' awesome. And he's like, yeah, they'll be ready for the game tonight. And I'm like, oh, you like football? And then he's like, yeah, I'm a chef, and I'm off Sundays and Mondays. That's my weekend. And he's like, thank God Sunday's one of the days, because I love football. And so when football season comes, I am in the house guaranteed 99% of the time watching football, because it's my Saturday. even called it that. His Sunday was, he was referring to it as his Saturday. I think he was trying to help me understand. You know what I mean?
He was speaking your language.
He was speaking most, yeah, stereotypical language, right? But you're right. Many people, Saturday and Sunday may not be their weekend. I know when I worked at the grocery store in the summer, back in the day when I was not in school, I don't, some days I only had one day off in the week. Other days I had 3 days off, you know? So when somebody say, when's your weekend? I'm like, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, I've got to work every other day. So I can't go on Saturday to whatever you guys are doing downtown. I got to be at work. Who wants to go out Wednesday night? And then they all look at me funny, like, Wednesday night, we got to wake up early and go to work on Thursday. And that was the thing, right? Most of my friends had normal summer jobs. I'm working in a grocery store, night crew. So I was the odd one out. Nobody wanted to go do late night stuff on Wednesdays. Funny how that works, eh?
Yeah, go figure. Go figure.
Go figure.
I like that. I think there's, it's the, you know, what we kind of, what we hold ourselves to, the rituals too, what are interesting. So there's one part to sort of acknowledge that you sort of call a weekend something, but also that ritual that he has, it sounds as if he's fairly rigid in his operating system about what must occur on his weekend. Right, him having that thing, that event that occurs, that's fascinating. So part of where you know, and I have students that will say things like that. I like to like, as in the thing that makes the weekend is that there's a thing that's scheduled out of their control, and if they can't connect with that thing that's out of their control, like it's not like he can't ask those games to be rescheduled for another day. Like if his weekend shifts, if he no longer has Sunday, well, he's not gonna be watching his live sports anymore. Like that's just kind of the way it works, right? If it's in fact live that he's looking for. So I like to talk to students then about, so what happens when your schedule, how do you get to the things that you do want throughout the week? So in this case, you know, ask the guy, like, do you have your PVR then? If that even exists, so you can watch a little bit throughout the week, like if you're needed to be at the restaurant. Are you able to maintain that same stability that you've completely locked into one day, which helps define what your weekend is? Have you thought about how you're going to have the plan B, whatever letters or numbers you want to make for those plans, so that if that day is taken away from you, you don't feel that sense of loss? Right. And so you can have that sort of protecting the weekend mindset throughout the week. And that's a little bit more challenging to sort of get through, especially if, because you get, it's kind of like that. I love draft beer, but I'll never drink it out of a bottle because it's just not the same. And if you're locked to the fact that, well, I need to watch college football live and anything else is not the same. I mean, you're always at risk at spoiler alerts, right? You're going to find out what the score is from somebody else. I can see how that would be definitely a big challenge in that. I could see. But there's other spaces in your life that I think in people's lives that you can move some of those pieces around and still have a sense of connection to the things that feel like keep you in balance. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't, if it's locked to one day and you don't get that day, that can feel like a big loss. I know students feel that all the time. They feel that, we talk about that. They feel all the time. They miss out on an event. They miss connecting with a person. They don't sort of see a certain video at a certain time. They don't get a release date right. Like all these kind of things that light them up, that speak very clearly about their lives away from school. Like these are important to some people. So
you got some art for us today, Chris?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that a ball? What is that? It's round.
Let me do one thing to it.
Let me do one thing to it. I love this. The end of our cast where I get to describe what it is you drew. Anybody who's listening is like, is Roland, is something wrong with Roland? And I'm like, no, nothing's wrong with me. I just can't always see, like, I can't see what it is. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, these aren't like well-developed high res images, right? Like I'm scribbling and kind of drawing, and this may or may not help, but let's see. Give me one sec. I'll say this as I'm just sort of finishing this up. I put on to the Twitter sphere asking people about their parking habits.
Your GIF made me laugh.
That's good, eh? The whole swinging into the.
And then the one that you posted about me saying that in my new role, I have no idea where I'm going to park my car when I get to a school. Because some of these places are like, they're jam packed. There's nowhere for me to park. So
yeah,
I thought it was hilarious that you had a car on two wheels parking between two other cars. I've actually considered, depending, I'll park up on the grass if I have to. If there's a little bit of grass by the last spot up on like a curb and then grass, I'll park there.
I like the one comment in there too. The person that said they brought the cone.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They cut the cone to save their. That's a whole other episode about how we save our spots in lines.
That's also an episode about how people like you and I will move the cone. Like, we'll move the cone.
Yeah.
We'll move the cone. And at one school I worked at, the custodian, who was quite brazen. Okay, let's see here. Is that a six?
Nice, baby. You did it. It is.
Okay.
Season six.
Gotcha. Thank you.
There we go. You're welcome.
One day, I think it was during the summer, near the end of the summer, the custodian's obviously at work. And someone came to repaint the lines for the parking lot. And this custodian, he got the guy to paint on the ground custodian, like the word custodian in a spot. And it was the spot that the principal usually parked in because it's the closest to the door. And I'll never forget coming to work, looking at all these beautiful lines, and then seeing the custodian spot and just dying laughing, thinking this is going to be good because number one, there's no way he talked. There's no way he had permission from anybody to do this. Number one. Number two, the principal at the school was not going to entertain this for a second. Mm-hmm. Number three, their relationship was horrible. It was actually so bad it was fun to watch. That's how bad it was, that people would watch for enjoyment to see these two go at it each day. So I'll never forget, I walk in the building and I find him and I'm like, bro, you got your own parking spot? He goes, well, yeah, it's a real pain in the you know what when I go home for lunch and I come back and somebody's in my spot. And I was what? Who made it?
A cone would have been far less controversial, and cones are controversial unto themselves, right? Like that has a certain that's got some Hulk smash courage all over it. If you're pulling the cones out of your car to say I'm going to be back in an hour, and I'm going to be back at the spot, you take the next step and start permanently painting your own reserved spot in there.
My understanding is that the word custodian was removed, so it had to be removed. But there was one time he left. So I think he had lunch. He left for lunch before the school lunchtime, and then he would reappear halfway through the school lunch hour to clean up and stuff. And I remember walking up to the office, and I was waiting to talk to the principal about something, and there was a consultant from the school board there. And then I remember in walks the custodian through the front doors, livid. Someone's parked in my spot. Someone's parked in my spot. She goes, who's parked in my spot? I'm like, I don't know. So I walk out of the main office, open the doors, and I look, and he's parked right behind the car that's in the spot. So they can't leave. They've got to come back into the building and say, someone's parked behind me. Can you page them? And then he would nail the person who parked in his spot. So now I'm starting to put two and two together. The school board consultant was parked in his spot, and he was parked behind her, and he was ready to kill. So I'm literally doing this because I will admit, I was in a very immature mood. I was not happy at this school. I did not like my administrator. I was not comfortable at work. So this brought me joy, watching conflict, with him involved and with the principal involved brought me joy. And I'm not going to pretend I'm the only one that's ever experienced that. But anyway, so I was literally like, this is going to be a lunch hour. Mm-hmm. And consultant comes out and he says flat out to her, are you parked in my spot? And she's like, well, I'm parked in the parking lot. I don't know whose spots are who. He's like, right outside the doors. I'm parked right behind you. You are not leaving until I move my car. And she kind of looks at him and she's like, okay. Like she's like, well, I'm here to work. So then anyway, I went back to work. I don't know what happened. At the end of the day, when I left to go home, her car was gone. His car was in the spot. So man, we could dedicate episodes to my time at that school. There are so many good stories about the dysfunction there. But I can't give them all away. Did I ever tell you the story about the teacher who left the building to start her car in the winter? Did I ever tell you that story and then what I did? Okay, well, I'm not going to tell you now. It's a good one. I don't even know if I can say it on the cast. I'll have to run it by you and you'll have to tell me if somebody could get themselves into some kind of legal situation. I don't want to go there, you know, with the thousands of listeners we have. I don't want to get that in the way or whatever. But anyway,
I still get a chuckle. I do get a chuckle and I'm not sure what feeds it. I do get a chuckle where I see that spots are the only spot that I think to myself, that needs an extra. I understand having accessible spots. That makes sense to me. Not even going to talk about that. What I'm talking about instead, as in spots for accessibility, individuals that rock the piece of paper in their window, they're sort of declaring that for this specific reason, I need to be close to a door. This spot is made bigger. I need clearance. I got gear. I have movement, whatever that is. Not talking about that. I'm talking about where there's extra labels. Like the custodian. And one of the things I put into the extra labels is where you see, not only does it say for principal, but it actually has the principal's name on it. And I have seen those. I have seen those where it actually says reserved for, and there's a, yeah. Yeah. And Roland is shaking his finger at the camera. It is one of those where I just think to myself, what my brain kind of goes is I would like to know how that, if that's, you know, you sort of notice a thing and you wonder, like, what if they even talk about this anymore? Or if it's just become protocol, you know, a school is there. We got to change the nameplate on someone's office because some new person is coming in. Okay. Oh yeah. Remember, kids, you got to go outside and change the nameplate on the actual person's parking spot too. Mind-blowing to me, because if that's the case and you share this story and someone else shared the story in the in that Twitter conversation, that Twitter thread about parking, the school that it didn't have enough parking for people in general. And then another really interesting sidebar to that is that if you're a part-time teacher and you arrive at a deregulated time, so it's not, you're not arriving when opportunity is fairly equal for everybody as in when the parking lot is fairly empty, you're arriving at a time where, you know, let's say in the afternoon, right? And they're between the delivery people and the actual, like all the spots are taken. So, you know what, you circle the block waiting for someone to come out. Like it's you know, looking for parking. Like it's just, that's just feels like there's I'm not a part of any of these conversations, but I would love to know whether or not these conversations still happen.
At your wife's school, is there, mm-hmm. are there spots for administration?
Yes.
Okay. Does she use that spot?
Yes. And
next time you talk to her, I'd love to know what, the next time you share with us, I'd love to know her thoughts about that.
It's this. And then she parks there.
Oh, okay.
So she recognizes the thing. She recognizes the thing and then parks there. Yeah. So.
Okay. Yeah, I think those spots are, I think it's a bad idea in terms of, it's a bad idea. It's like personalized plates.
That you have your name on it.
Yeah.
Like just your full first and last name, right?
Some people have that. My father-in-law has that. And I'm like, you make one mistake on the road and everybody knows who you are.
Like that Tesla person. Did you see that footage? The person driving on the Queensway or whatever, the QEW, for about 50 minutes. It looked like they were sleeping. Mm-hmm. I guess the cars have autopilot. That's bold.
I like what did you see what the cop's response was on television?
I haven't followed it.
Okay, so on the treadmill, I'm watching the news. It comes up. It came up like four times in the time that I was on the treadmill because they just looped the news. And the OPP officer said, it's very good, actually. He's like, maybe it was basically he wasn't saying, okay, we're going to find this person, nail them to the wall. His response was, well, it is suspicious and it could have been a stunt. We don't know. Or maybe there was a medical situation. I love that because when you're watching the video, the seats friggin' reclined and someone's recording this guy for like 15 minutes. The guy was asleep. I mean, come on. But the police, the guy was like, maybe it was a medical situation. Maybe it was a stunt. We don't know. But the law says that when you're operating a motor vehicle and you're in the driver's seat, you have to be aware and ready to rock and roll kind of thing. This is not, it's not permitted. You can't do this on Ontario roads. So it was just funny. I'm like, come on, man. Are you for real here? Maybe it was a stunt. Maybe there's a medical condition. Anyway, so the police, then it was said something like, well, the police are not investigating this any further because there have been no reports. So funny thing is, the person who took the video, I'm inferring, didn't actually call the police and provide them with this data. They just let the news know or something. I don't know. The news found out and contacted the person. But the cops are like, we still have no reports of this. So as far as we're concerned, you're just telling us about it. Nobody's called us to tell us there's a situation here. So I just thought that was very interesting.
It is. And it is, I mean, in our world of sort of both staged and real, like people using social media for performative and, you know, persuasive and even personal. There's your triple P. It could be any of the above. Could be any of the above. So,
well, on that note, just did was not performative.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. This was season 6, episode 1 of the Decoded Podcast. Have a great week, Chris, and enjoy your Labor Day tomorrow.
Yeah. Peace, man.
Peace.